Deirdre put up on Facebook last night. She's not here today, so I can't get her to talk about it. Maybe I'll give her a ring and talk to her before 12, but it's a really weird dream. Now, she gets strange dreams, as our Dee. Some of the stories she'd be telling you. Then anyway, she said, I have a lot of MC gigs coming up, which I'm a little bit anxious about, I suppose, in my subconscious. I had a dream last night I was MCing the Cork Person of the Year. Oh, really? I was on Fota Island Resort. The special guests were Prince William and Prince Harry and some Irish bloke they knew through rugby, who'd pulled strings to get them there. They were sitting in the middle of the room at a huge table by themselves. Basically, everyone was just standing around looking at them. I was a bit late and had to go and change my dress in the toilets when I arrived. MCing is real glamorous, you know. When I came back out, the hotel manager was there to brief me, but didn't know anything about what I was meant to be doing. It was supposed to be a charity event. When I asked her which charity, she told me it was in aid of a secondary school hurling team. But it's grand. The two lads don't even know what hurling is, so they think it's a normal charity. That was a weird dream, because she thought she was going to do the Cork Person of the Year awards. And then by the time she changed, she didn't know what it was about, neither did anybody else. So you're stuck in a place, that's the dream, you're stuck in a place you're supposed to be, to do something you're supposed to be at, and nobody knows what it's about, including you. Weirdest thing. Have I got that right, Dee? Is that what it is? Dee? Are you there? Oh, she's not. Is she? Oh, she's on one. Okay. One second. Dee, is that what it is? Are you there?
I am.
Right. You turned up for something you were supposed to be at, and then no one knew what it was about at all.
Yeah, except for there was obviously these two really important guests that obviously everyone was very excited about. It was Prince William and Prince Harry. And as you know, I have no interest in the royals, so I don't know where that came from. But so Prince William and Prince Harry were there, and they were sitting in the middle of this room. And you know the way those events are like, you know, it's just like a wedding or something normally. And they were sitting in the middle of this room at this big table, kind of on their own. And there was no one else sitting down. Everyone else was standing around the edges of the room, just like watching them. And I got there and the hotel manager was kind of looking at me like, off you go. And I was like, but sure, you're supposed to be telling me what I'm doing. And she was like, oh, I don't really know. Sure, you know what to do. You do this all the time. And I was like, but I don't even know what it's about or what charity is it for. And she said, oh, it's for a hurling team. I said, a hurling team? That's not really a charity. And she said, yeah, it's for one of the local secondary schools. But should the two lads, this is referring to William and Harry, sure, they don't even know what hurling is, so they won't know any different anyway.
This was utter and total confusion. I'll bring in Alison Byrne at this point, Dee. Maybe she can analyse. Thanks, Dee. By the way, how are things long cold over the East Northern?
Well, the snow is very heavy. People will have seen the Facebook video I put up this morning with the topics on the 96FM page. And the snow is really heavy. It's about nearly 10 centimetres on the ground in some places.
Oh,
because yesterday's didn't melt either. So it has been kind of snowing intermittently all morning. But I think it's snowing out around the mouth of the harbour now from where I am. I can see that, but not here.
All right, we'll take it handy. Mind yourself down there. Thanks, Dee. 1857-5996. She's running our social media from down there today, so she's not actually taking a day off at all. Fair play to her. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we might come back after the news to finish this conversation. You're developing an online course in dream interpretation.
That's right. I teach a lot face-to-face at the moment, but that's my next step to go online as well.
What about Dee's one there? She turns up at something that she was all planned for, everything is arranged, and then no one knows what's going on. What's that all about?
Do you know, it's a very common type of dream. It really is that whatever the event that you're at, you're not prepared for it, and it's not working as it should. Most commonly, it comes out as people going to the leaving cert and they're not prepared. They're doing a subject that they never did or something like that. But anyway, to get back to Dee, it's all to do with... I hope Dee doesn't mind me interpreting her in front of the nation like this, but it's all to do with the changes that might be going on in Dee's life. Now, I don't know her at all, but the whole dream is centering around the importance people. Like, it's the person of the year is an important event. The two princes would be important people. So it's again, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Dee. It's Dee grappling with accepting herself as an important person and the changes in her life that are bringing her into the centre of attention more than she was used to previously.
Oh,
and the fact that she had to change, and she did manage to change into the dress in the toilets, is very positive, because in the toilets is where you let go of anything you're finished with. So it's symbolic of moving out of or letting go of things in your life that have had their use, had their time.
I've put on a few tuxedos and toilets around the place to do my own gigs. I know what she goes through.
Yeah, but she said she put on the dress and she didn't say it was awful or anything like that. So she was successful in the change, in the transition.
Very good. Listen, I'll bring you back after the news. We can continue that conversation about it and maybe more about dreams because people have some very strange ones. Listen, John O'Donovan, we literally have, I'd say, we have literally got, 20 seconds. John, what's on your mind?
I just wondered, does Theo have a dream about me?
Those are ones she classes under nightmares.
Yeah, listen, I just, dream expert there. Lately, I've been having a few dreams there. Maybe just eating late, going to bed, but a lot about hauntings, that I'm in a situation where there's ghosts and stuff like that. So what's that about?
Turning up to protest?
No.
I'll put it out about being haunted after the news. John, thanks a lot.
Cork's number one talk show, The Opinion Line. With PJ Coogan on Cork's 96 FM.
Let's go back to dreams. Alison was there to analyse some dreams. Deirdre was discussing her dream. She's back. And we'll bring back John O'Donovan as well to talk a little bit more about his. So, Alison, first to you. I've said this before to other dream interpreters. Uh-huh. You know, is a dream linkable to something anyway, or is it just something random that goes on in your mind during the night that means nothing?
It's never something random, even though it might appear random to your logical brain, you know. What's happening at night, there's lots of different reasons for dreams, but the most common reason is for just processing the things that have happened in the last day or week or further back that you haven't had time to process because you've been busy living during the day while you're awake. And it's just going over and, if you like, putting things into files in our head or discarding things that we don't need to remember anymore. So that'd be a very common reason for dreams. But there are lots of, you know, it can be trying to get information from our unconscious mind into our conscious minds, because unconsciously we know so much. Yeah. And the conscious mind is only like the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. And so we're looking after ourselves, trying to bring the information forward at different times.
D is there. Alison, I think... Yep. D, I think what Alison is saying is that you're about to get very famous and you might be nervous about it.
God, I don't know about that, PJ. When CNN call me, I'll let you know first. So
you'll be getting me P45 here. You'll be taking over from...
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, but I liked about these dreams? She wasn't a bit comfortable with any kind of deceit, and that kind of says a lot about your character, that it just didn't fit right.
You know, when you're a terrible liar, aren't you, Pete?
Yeah, but
no, that's true. And it was interesting what you said about the dress as well, because actually the dress didn't even feature. I didn't even care what it looked like or anything. It was just, I have to just go and change, because that's what I do with these things, you know.
You make yourself presentable for the part that you're doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So changes, and apparently I'm going to get really famous. First, well, thanks for that.
and you're learning to get comfortable with it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, I've had something similar recently, now that you mention it, Dee, and now that you write it. I started to have one or two strange dreams recently too, about going to the most ordinary places and meeting the most extraordinary strange people. I remember, I could swear that one night I dreamt I actually sat down in a restaurant for a cup of coffee, and Kylie Minogue came over to sit down and talk to me.
Okay, when it's a particular person like that, what you do is you say, describe the person. So give me three words to describe Kylie Minogue.
Australian, pretty, small.
Okay, well, we'll leave the Australian out because...
The accent, you're Irish.
You see?
Huh? The accent, I love the accent. That's what attracted me to someone like Kylie Minogue rather than anything else. I love her accent.
Okay, well then you have to say everybody in the dream can represent a part of you, okay? So you'd be looking at yourself and saying, yeah, I really appreciate my own accent. And we won't use pretty for you because you're obviously a guy, but I appreciate my own looks.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's what you do. You look at the person and it's one side of the coin or the other. Let's say you think about somebody who's always angry. Then you either are a bit concerned about your own anger, that it's too much, or you feel a need that you have to express anger, but you haven't done it yet. So it's either one or the other, you know?
Yeah. It's just strange. You said that a dream always relates to something in your life, and yet it can appear so completely out of left field. You wake up wondering, what the hell was all that about?
Yeah, because we talk, our subconscious mind is always talking in symbols and signs and puns. so that it's not obvious. You know, you could dream of a red bus and it could actually, when you finish interpreting it, be representing your mother. You know, I'm just saying that because I had somebody and she dreamt that the bus was driving off the side of a humpback bridge. And it turned out when we'd finished teasing out all the little bits of it, that she was afraid that her mother was getting unwell.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'd say, how'd you get from one to the other? What you do is you take out every little detail of, let's say, the red bus, big, double-decker, red, powerful, driving, you know, all the things that you associate with it. And then you do another step, what you associate with those things.
So come back into Deirdre's dream. Like, of all people, and you mentioned, Dee, you and we would have no truck for the royals much of the time.
Not particularly.
Like, how could two members of the royal family land in the middle of the dream of someone who has little or no time for the royal family or little or no interest in the royal family?
Well, what I would say in Deirdre's dream was that they were representing important people, particularly as they were in a table or at a table on their own and everybody was just standing looking at them. They weren't communicating with them. So that then could represent Dee herself when she's in roles where people aren't conversing with her. She's just talking and they're listening to her. But the fact that
happens
there was
a lot.
Yeah, a difference between the table and the people would mean that she mightn't have felt too comfortable with it. But that things are changing. Don't forget, she changed in the toilet. We use all the puns, they're all clues. So she's in the changing. She's in the state of transforming into the next stage of D, which is feeling very comfortable and accepting that she is an important person as it goes forward and she gets more important.
John wanted to know, Deirdre, if you ever dreamt of him. John?
No. Sorry, John.
I don't very much.
I had to listen to you talking on the show while I was in labour with my son. I think that's about as intimate as we will ever get, John.
Well, there you go, and talk about sharing secrets out of school. All right. Do you know what I'm going to do, lads? I'll let you go and I'll stay with
I want to hear Alison more about John's dreams about the protest.
Oh yeah, about the haunting. Yeah,
the haunting. Just before John goes, can we ask him what the hauntings were? Were they people, animals, monsters, or you know what were they?
Please, can you put me back on hold? I can't hear the lady.
Okay, well, one second until I do that. This can be a bit awkward when you have to do it all. But here we go. John's back on hold. Now we can hear you.
John, I was just wondering. You said your dreams were about hauntings. So what were the hauntings? Like, were they people or were they monsters or animals or you know, what were they?
Okay,
so,
John.
Not lately, was sort of the last maybe 2 years. So I find out that the hauntings are kind of, it's like that there's actually somebody in the house and I wake up actually shouting at the person and either I'm still asleep and I'm thinking that it's actually real. And then I don't know whether I'm actually awake or asleep. It's all confusing. And I also, I've been led around by a total strange person in a part of Cork that I recognise, another part of Cork I don't recognise. And there are females from my past that I've been involved with, but yet I can't put a face on the female. I don't know whether it is this girl or whether it is that girl.
All right, I'll put you back on hold, John, so you can hear Alison's reply to that, okay? So what do you make of that, Alison?
Well, it's interesting. He hasn't got a particular person. They're kind of vague. It was someone shouting. It was females. So it's not, like we did with you with Kylie Minogue, it's not particular characteristics that we'd look at. So the feeling particularly of being led around Cork, being led through areas he knew and areas he didn't know, it sounds to me like John is reviewing different things in his life and some parts of them are bothering him, but he's not aware consciously that they're bothering him. And that's why he hears the shouting. You know, and it sounds like he wakes up afraid and not quite sure which reality he's in. So if I were John, right, I would do one of two things. I would either sit down with a pen and paper and just start to write about the past, Cork and females, because that's all he really got out of the dream. And just, it's a thing called hot penning. You don't stop to think. You just take the pen and you write and you start off writing. I don't know what to write. This is stupid anyway. I'm bored or whatever. But you have to keep writing. And when you keep writing, eventually your left brain clicks in. Your right brain clicks in and you're writing from your unconscious. You don't stop to think. You don't stop to read until you're finished and you just feel, oh, that's it. And then read it back. And I say it's very likely then that he'll see the parts of his life that he's concerned about. that he wants to sort of tidy up or sort out.
Okay, will you start writing that down, so John, you will?
Oh, straight away.
There's another way.
I said,
if
it'd be a
best headline, said PJ. All right. I'll let John go because he doesn't hear us very well when he's not there. Go ahead, okay. Alison. Yeah.
The other way to do it would be to, as you're going to sleep one night, to say, okay, I'm programming myself that I'm going to find out what is the information that's trying to come to me. I'm going to find out clearly what it is that I'm trying to sort out from the past, probably to do with women and, you know, relationships and all that.
Okay. Here's a question. Caller says, do we all dream? And if we do, why don't I ever remember mine?
Okay, well, firstly, they say, yes, we do all dream. That's been scientifically proven. In fact, if you don't dream, you'll go insane. It's part of our repair and renewal at night. People don't dream for one of two reasons. Either they're doing fine and there's nothing that they need to remember to process more while they're awake, or there's nothing prodding them. You know, there's sometimes dreams can give you an idea of, oh, let's start swimming or something, you know. There's nothing like that they're not aware of, so they don't actually need to remember the dreams. So that's one possibility. And the other possibility is that there are things there, but the dreamer just isn't feeling able to look at them. So there's a bit of denial. So the easiest way to not look at them is to not remember them.
Okay.
So only the dreamer will know. And if he's interested and he would like to start to remember his dreams, he can do little tricks. Like the subconscious is very clever, but it's very simple as well in other ways. You can do things like not eat just before you're going to bed. Vitamin D helps the dreams. But the simple tricks are, let's say he wears slippers. As he's taken off his slippers, say to himself, as I'm putting on my slippers, I'll remember my dreams. Or like drink a half a glass of water and say, as I'm drinking the other half, I'll remember my dreams. And it sounds so simple that it's just laughable, but it works.
To tell yourself you're going to remember them.
Yes. We program it.
Almost put yourself on an alert.
Yeah, that's it. And our unconscious mind is very obedient and it does what we tell it.
Is there any way to get rid of a recurring bad dream?
Yeah, and what happens is if you have a message that you're trying to get through and it comes in a dream and you don't get it or you don't pay it any attention, it becomes a recurring dream. And if you still don't get the answer, your subconscious is saying, come on, listen, and gives you a nightmare, and then you pay attention, you know. So the recurring dream is something that you have to talk about, analyse out, and get the message, and then act on it.
The caller says this is from an actual event many years ago.
Well, if they would like to say a little bit more, would they come on and we could get a chat and get some more information about it?
We can try.
It's
in the... Caller was in an armed services and saw things that he shouldn't have seen, and it haunts him to this day. The lads are writing it up. I think he's declining to come on the air, which
okay,
a bit nervous maybe. But saw things that they shouldn't have seen, and they're haunted by what they saw to this day, and the dreams keep recurring. Can you do anything about that?
Okay, that sounds like post traumatic shock, doesn't it? That his mind is still trying to make peace with the horrors I'd imagine that he's seen. So it's going over it and over it and over it. So what I would suggest with him is that he address it in the waking hours, like whatever the bad stuff is that he's gone through. Now, the ways to do that are, writing is brilliant. Writing might be enough if he just sat down and wrote, and I bet you he'd write loads and loads. And sometimes when you get it out on the paper, it's out, so you don't have to hold it in your brain. So I would start with that. But if that doesn't work, then the next step would be counselling or healing. I'm kind of reluctant to say this in one way because there is a thing called havening. It's a reasonably new therapy. But the armed forces in America and in England, sorry, the retired ones in England, the current ones in America, are using it to get rid of post-traumatic shock. So he could look at something like that or counselling.
Okay. I want to stay with me for a few minutes, Alison. I'm talking to Alison Byrne, dream interpreter. I'll find out more about her online course as well before we finish. But as always, when we bring up the subject of dreams, people want to talk about it. 1850-715-996. I'll get to more of your storm messages. Keep them coming and I'll read them in batches before we finish. Tom Barry once has a message for Deirdre. He says, I want to have some of what you're having. 1850-715-996. Back with Alison next.
The Opinion Line with the Ireland edition of The Times. Be well informed on Ireland and the world. Cork's 96 FM. The KC Show. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Cork's 96 FM.
You're not going to believe it, but Eddie Murphy's here this morning. Eddie, how are you?
Man, let me tell you, it's so great to be here. I can't make good movies anymore, KC. Man, when are you going to do Beverly Hills Cop 4?
Get the door, because it's Conor McGregor, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up? How are you, brother? Very good.
Good morning, McGregor.
I will be back in that octagon. Don't you worry about that.
Kim Kardashian.
Wow, it's really amazing for Kylie giving birth to a beautiful little girl. It's bigger news than anything the world has ever seen.
The KC Show.
With Stenaline, your only baggage limit is your car. Stenaline.ie.
Text the opinion line now. 083-396-96-96. Cork's 96 FM.
Talking to Alison Byrne, who's a dream interpreter, and we'll take one or two calls about it over the next few minutes. Viv joins us from Spain. A recurring dream, Viv, yeah?
It's a very strange one, PJ. It was actually when I was pregnant. I had some absolute beauties when I was pregnant with my second baby last year. But this one is very, very strange. And I'm fascinated by the world of dreams and where the mind goes. And I've read a lot. When I dream every night, and I really deeply remember and vividly remember colours and smells and sounds in my dreams. I sometimes wake up exhausted, actually, to be honest with you. But this one was, and I still remember it, I remember some of my dreams from years ago. This was, myself and my sister were on a boat crossing from the Netherlands to Germany. And there was a terrible, terrible storm. We were in the North Sea and the boat was being tossed about like a cork. And I said, I'm going to lie down. I'm going down below deck. I'm going to lie down. And as I lay down on the bed, the next thing I woke, but I woke in my bed here in Madrid. And I thought, oh, thank God, that was just a dream. And I turned and I looked at the clock. So I thought, oh, thank God. And then I saw a woman walk into my room, dressed in black, tall, not beautiful, not ugly, quite pleasant face, with my laundered clothes, and they were beautiful. They smelled of a lavender, and she put them on the chair that's near my bedroom, and courtesied to me and walked out. And I honestly don't know what I experienced, because I was awake. I mean, I was awake from that point on. I don't know if this is something common, that you still see elements of your dream. Even when you think you're awake. I don't know if Alison can explain that one.
Okay. Give it a go anyway, Alison.
Yeah, I'll address the second point first. That often happens, that in the dream you wake up and you're either relieved or whatever, and you go about your business, and things are still odd because you're still dreaming. It's one of those kind of tricks that our mind plays. And there's a few ways to test if you suspect that you might be still dreaming. If you look at your hands, it's very likely you won't have five fingers. You'll either have four or six or something. You know, it's just one of those things. Or didn't you say you looked at a clock?
I did. I looked at the clock, yeah, which is beside my bed. And I still remember it said 7:07 in the morning.
But if you looked at the clock a second time, if you were testing to see if you're lucid dreaming, it would give a different time.
Okay, I'll remember that for the next time.
There's the possibility that you were still asleep but woke up within the dream as such, so that the rest of it was still a dream. Or the other possibility is that it is actually that you had a visit from a woman in black. You know, I don't know how that makes you feel, but...
No, not at all. It wasn't at all frightening, Alison. That's what I'm trying to say. I wasn't frightened, but I did think... because of the lovely smell of lavender, it was most calming. But I did think, this is a little bit odd.
Well, what I suspect of the different possibilities, the strongest one that I think you had was actually that you were reliving some element of a past life, that you were somebody who would have been lying in the bed while the maid came in and put in freshly laundered clothes and curtsied to you. You know,
she certainly did, and it was, and she, as I say, she was quite pleasant. Maybe that's where I get my high notions from, Alison. God knows,
you remember the aristocracy, Viv.
yeah.
But Lady Muck, PJ.
Lady Muck in Madrid. Huh?
That name will stick now.
There's a reason why you would have tapped into that element of a past life. So if you saw it last year, well then it's something that you want to bring forward. Your feeling of, I don't know, wealth, esteem, position, confidence, whatever it was that you had from that past life, or just things going well. I mean, it sounds like a pleasant little interlude in a day,
It really was. I mean, the pregnancy went very well. So maybe, you know, just as you're saying, maybe it was just a little marker to say that everything's going fine.
Yeah.
As I say, I wasn't traumatised or upset or stressed in any way. But I can clearly see her face. And she was really, really tall. That's the other thing.
Okay. And the first part of your dream, or I'm calling it two parts of the same thing, was very different. It was. And yourself and your sister were there, so that's a pair. You were going from the Netherlands to Germany, so that's a pair.
Right.
So it was something to do with couples making... Did you say it was your second child?
My second child.
Ah, that's probably it, that there was now going to be a pair of children.
Bring in Mary, because this dream has been upsetting Mary for a while. Hi, Mary.
Hi, PJ.
And Alison.
And Alison, how are you?
What's the dream you've been having that upsets you?
It's about a death. I dream constantly of dying, and my husband. I have a lot of problems with my back and my legs, and my husband is outstanding with me, and I dream that he's dead and I'm there looking at him in the coffin, and I just, my brother died a year and a half ago, and he's constantly on my mind. He was the only sibling I had, and like, it keeps going around in circles.
Yeah. And is this a dream you have all the time, is it, Barry?
Yeah, constantly. And I can remember it in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very upsetting.
Sure. Okay, Alison, can you give us your take on that?
Well, there's a couple of things mixing in together there, Mary. Obviously, you're still grieving for your brother, and that's part of the dream. Did you say you have a problem with your back and your legs?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is probably hampered your life, because when we dream of death, it usually doesn't mean a physical death. It means the death of a period of our lives. In other words, the loss of a period of our lives. So if you are having trouble with your back and your legs, my best guess is that you're not as nimble or as mobile as you used to be.
I'm not, no.
Mourning. You need to mourn that as well. And the reason it's coming into your dream world is because you haven't been able to take in or to really work with it as much as you wanted to consciously.
So she misses the days when she was better able to get around, is that
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
so
I can't get around.
Yeah.
Not well, I would, a fraction of what I used to be able to.
And that's what that's about, is it?
Yeah, and it's time to kind of grieve that when you're awake. Do you know the way a lot of the time we're kind of trying to say, oh yeah, we'll just get on with it, we'll make the best of it, we count our blessings and that. And that really is important in its place. But you also have to allow yourself to grieve for the loss of the type of lifestyle that you did have. So if you take some time to just think about that and maybe talk to somebody about it as well, it'll help to get it out so that it's not churning around when you go to sleep.
Okay, listen, Mary, I hope that's good advice for you. I want to move on to Jonathan. Thanks, Mary. She's mourning a period of her life when she was more nimble and more able to get around. I'm getting through these because I want to devote the last section of the show to doing as much as we can about the weather and safety and all of that. Jonathan, you've had another one over and over again, is it?
Yeah, PJ, during the last 6 or 7 years, I'd say, just much the same sort of things be happening over and over again. One thing, anyway, would be that happens a lot, and it's so realistic. I'm after nearly convincing myself that it is real, that I'm levitating around the room, that I rise up off the bed and I'm levitating around the room. Another thing then is that I'm lying in the bed and I can't move, and there's an old woman wearing a black coat or a black cloak, I mean, on the bottom of the bed, and I just try to move her away and I can't move, and a lot of the time as well I'm just lying in the bed and I can't move, and I wake up and I'd be screaming and my heart be racing.
There's a few things going on there, Alison.
So, and that's recurring with the last 6-7 years.
Okay.
It's very frightening when you can't move. When you feel you're levitating, is that frightening?
Oh, well, no. I feel like I'm trying to control and move myself around the room. It isn't really frightening.
Yeah, because I've news for you, Jonathan, you probably are levitating. when we dream, now I'm going to guess some people won't like this, but when we dream, our souls are free to leave our bodies, right? And most of the time, we're not consciously aware that we're doing that. But as our souls go out of our bodies to do whatever spiritual work we need to do at night, we are actually levitating. But we have a cord that will bring us back all the time. We're not going to get lost up there. So if you're dreaming that you're levitating, most likely you are. And just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's you're not lifting up out of the bed. You're not physically lifting up out of the bed, are you, though?
No. It's just your
so realistic that I think I am.
Yeah, but if you could look down on the bed, your body would still be there.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people see their body, they get such a fright that they jump back in immediately. You know, but it's normal. Just most people don't remember that they've done it. Most people's dreams would start like that, and then off they go. But they don't remember that part. So it's just that you're more aware of what's going on. Now, the other side that you wake up and you can't move. Again, this is quite common. It's called sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
You see, when you're asleep and dreaming, there's chemicals that are released in your brain to keep you fairly still at night, that you're not actually making all the movements of playing golf or kicking a football or whatever. You know, your body it'll move a little bit, but not much. Now, when your body is beginning to get towards waking up again, it releases other chemicals to counteract the first ones so that you can move freely when you wake up.
Okay.
But when you wake up and you feel paralyzed, it means those second chemicals haven't kicked in quickly enough.
Okay.
That's all it means, and it frightens the life out of people. So if you wake up like that, it might feel like a good few minutes that you're in the state of paralysis, but in reality it's only seconds.
Okay.
Because the realization makes the chemicals appear like a flash.
Okay.
So what you do when you wake up and you feel a bit put out is just start to think about moving one part of your body, let's say a little finger, and by the time you're concentrated and focused on doing that, the movement will be back in your body.
Okay.
All right.
We go back. There was the old woman in the black cloak.
Yes.
Because it didn't appear logical to you what was happening, because obviously you didn't have any explanation, your mind has to produce something that's acceptable. So this is your logical mind now. So it produced the old lady in the black cloak as a sort of an explanation to make you think, I'm not going mad and I'm not actually paralyzed. But when you realize that you can move, you won't have a need to see that old lady in the black cloak anymore.
All right. Jonathan, I'm going to leave you go. Thanks for that. Thanks for the call. Alison, before I just finish with you, your online course, first of all, how can people avail of that?
Well, I'm going to have it prepared hopefully by the end of March. And I have a website, alisonburnhealing.com, and it'll be on that, how to click in and save the course.
Alison Byrne Healing. I mean, you know what? Yeah. You've been great this morning. Maybe you'll come back with us sometime soon.
Oh, I'd love to.
Maybe
thank
when things
you
are a bit calmer weather-wise, then we'd have a good chat and we'll have a good...
That'll be great.
All right. Sound out.
Thanks very much for having me.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. That's Alison Byrne, a dream interpreter. And she has online and all that. And we'll bring her back because these things are very, very popular.